Time for the reading of the Word, Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. And I would like to preach to you tonight from this passage of the Lord's, the Sermon on the Mount. Just let's pray before you sit down. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Help us tonight, Lord, to rightly divide it, to break the Word of God, to feed the souls of those who are here tonight. Speak to us from your Word, Jesus. Challenge our hearts and lives. May we live for Jesus with all of our heart. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. The church has a challenge before it to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus gives the Great Commission, he says to his disciples, I want you to go and teach all nations. That phrase, teach all nations, literally means make disciples of all nations. In other words, make followers of Jesus Christ. He said, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So it is the responsibility of the church to make sure that those people who come to Christ understand what it is to live for Christ. They become disciples of His, and they are taught the things that Jesus taught. So this is one of the things that Jesus taught to us. I remember reading several years ago about a missionary conference. And in this missionary conference, the speakers were bragging on the spread of the gospel in Africa. And there has been an amazing spread of the gospel in Africa. But while they were bragging and boasting of their efforts in Africa and what had gone on, one little lady stepped to the podium from the pulpit, from the audience, and this was not on the program. And she said, I would like to say something. She said, I'm from one of those countries that you are boasting of having the gospel. In my country, she said, I believe it was something like 85% of the people are Christian. But she said, my nation has just gone through a terrible ordeal in which over 1 million of the citizens of that country have been killed by their fellow citizens. And she was from the country of Rwanda. She said, you brought us the gospel, but she said, you didn't teach us how to live. And we don't want to make that mistake of telling people about Jesus, but failing to teach them how to live like Jesus. So Jesus said, you're to teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Someone said about religion in Africa, that Christianity in Africa, that it's a mile wide and an inch deep. But when you look at the American church scene, it seems also in the American church scene that our religion is a mile wide and an inch deep. But the Lord wants to deepen our walk with Him, deepen our consecration to Him, make our lives more conformed to that of Jesus Christ. Jesus started out this section telling us about a saying that was going around in His day. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now that was an Old Testament scripture, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It was repeated about 3 times in the Old Testament law. But in the Old Testament, this particular passage of scripture did not deal with personal vengeance. It dealt with civil law. So that the law of Israel mandated that if a person put out another man's eye, he was to lose his own eye. If he hit him and broke out his tooth, he was to lose his own tooth. And this law that God gave to Israel, come out of the mind of God, it was a just and equitable law. It was actually a law of mercy, for it put limitations on punishment for crime, so that you could not, if a man put out one eye of another man, you could not put out two of his eyes. You could only inflict upon him what he had inflicted upon his neighbor. You couldn't go beyond that. So it was actually a law of mercy that prescribed just punishment for wrongdoing. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, life for life. Exact, the punishment was commensurate with the crime, so that the punishment exactly fit the crime. It was a law of mercy, and it came out of the mind of God. But over time, people had taken that law and made it a personal thing, so that they used that law as a justification for taking revenge, for taking matters in their own hands, so that when someone did wrong to them, they retaliated, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That was not the reason that God gave that law. It was an abuse of that law that was taking place in that society. So Jesus corrected them. And he said in verse 39, I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now, this particular passage, speaking of striking a man on his right cheek, you know, Sister Judith, I see, if I struck you on the cheek, yet I'd be striking you on your left cheek, right? So in order to strike you on your right cheek, I'd have to come backhanded, right? So this was did y'all get that? If I struck her with my hand like this, I'm going to hit her on her left cheek. In order to hit her on her right cheek, I've got to come backhanded like this. So it was an act of insult. This was an act of insult to a person to backhand them. So when he says, I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. He is talking about resenting and repaying insults. So when a person's insulted, like a backhand slap, and this is not just merely referring to somebody smiting you on your cheek, but it's referring to the whole range of insults that a person has to endure as a Christian. And oftentimes we endure insults that are not just backhanded slaps, but maybe verbal abuses that are hurled at us, and we have to understand how to react to personal insults that come to us as a result of our confidence, faith, and following of Jesus Christ. The Christian is the man who has learned not to retaliate when he's insulted for his faith. So, I mean, it certainly involves someone slapping you on the face, but it goes beyond that, so that a person who is a Christian does not retaliate for insults that are imposed upon them by an unbelieving world. Now, of course, a brother would not be the one giving you a backhanded slap. But this would come from the world, and the Christian is not to resent or repay insults that leave that in the hands of God. The Scriptures tell us more about that in the writings of Paul. Romans chapter 12, I believe he said, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. He says, return not evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. so that the Christian does not respond in the same way that the world does. You know, I don't know, my dad, when I was going to school, I thought my dad maybe was a little too tight, because he always told us, he said, maybe some of y'all have heard this at some time in your life, but my dad told me, he said, if you get in trouble at school, you are in trouble at home. If you get in trouble with a teacher, you are in trouble with daddy. Well, you know, now then, mom and dad sends the children to school and says, if that teacher says anything to you, you just come to me and let me know it. And so, the teacher gets in trouble every time she corrects the student, because mom and dad's are breathing down her neck or his neck because they tried to correct little sweet Susie. You know? But it wasn't that way when I was growing up. When I was growing up, my dad said, if you get in trouble at school, I want you to count on this, you are in trouble when you get home. Well, he also said things like this, son, you don't fight back. Oh, I said, oh, Daddy, how can I help that? And I couldn't till I got right with God. I couldn't. Seemed like something just snapping me. And I would just, you know, I remember a boy hit me one time. No, he didn't hit me, he cussed me. And when he did, I just lost it. I was just a little boy. I wasn't too big. Thank God I wasn't very big. But I just lost it. I just went blind. I mean, I hit him before I knew it, and he stretched out on the ground, and I didn't hardly know what I'd done. I was so mad. You know, it was just in me to respond like that, even as a child. I mean, I laid him out before I knew what was happening. And that's the natural response of the carnal man. But what Jesus is teaching us here is something supernatural. He's teaching us something that's beyond the natural. He's teaching us something that He does in us that causes us to respond in a different way than the world does. Hey, if we're still responding in the same way the world does, it means that there's something lacking in our life. He went on to say, if any man will sue thee at the law, take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Now the cloak was a very important part of a man's wardrobe. It was the outer robe. In the Old Testament, you could not take a man's cloak from him as a means of surety unless you gave it back to him before the sunset. Because that outer garment was not only his means of warmth, it was his blanket at night. So the Old Testament prescribed that if you took a man's coat as a means of surety, before the sun went down, you had to give it back to him. Now you could take his coat, that is his tunic, the inner garment, but you couldn't keep his cloak. He said, if a man will sue thee at the law, take away thy coat. He said, let him have thy cloak also. Now, he could insist on his legal rights. He could say, look, by legal rights, you cannot have my cloak. But the Bible says that this Christian, when he's sued for his coat, his inner tunic, he offers his cloak as well. In other words, this is a man who no longer insists on his legal rights. Here is the problem in America today, brother. Is everybody insists on their rights. And what we've got to understand is, as a Christian, we have surrendered our rights. And we have given up our rights. This is a problem. This is the reason people get mad. This is a problem. This is the reason that people have anger. It's because they're holding on to their rights. And somebody transgressed my rights. And so, when somebody transgresses our rights, we rise up to defend our rights. But when you give up your rights, you give them to God. You say, God, I'm no longer claiming my rights. I'm giving them up to you. And whenever somebody transgresses and takes advantage of me, I'm leaving that in your hands. Whenever you are a person who insists on your rights, then you will always be dealing with somebody who is transgressing your rights. Look at Jesus, who gave up, I preached to you about him this morning, gave up his right to the throne in heaven, emptied himself, you know, came into this earth, gave up his rights to his throne in heaven, to his privileges in heaven, and came into this world, emptied himself, and lived among us, took the abuses of this world. They called him all kinds of names. They said he was a deceiver, a wine bibber. They called him all kinds of names. And Jesus never retaliated. Set a pattern for us. And tells us in his word that as Christians, we do not insist on our legal rights. Verse 41, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. In other words, what the circumstances were these. In that day, Israel lived under Roman law. Roman law said that a soldier can compel a man to carry a burden for him. So all he had to do was just come up, touch a man with the point of his spear or the point of his sword, and that man was compelled, this Jew was compelled, to take the load of that soldier for a mile. The law said that. The soldier could do that. So the soldier compelled Simon to carry the cross of Jesus Christ. And anybody could be conscripted by that soldier among the Jews. The point of his sword, point of his spear laid upon him. He knew what he had to do. Pick up that soldier's load, carry it a mile. Can't you see some little Jew with the soldier laying his sword on him? And he picks up the soldier's load and going along the way, the grumbling and complaining and murmuring and fussing and quarreling about what he's got to do. And then the soldier finds another Jew, a Christian, that puts his sword on him and says, carry my load. And so the Christian picks up his load and goes up the road singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, and gets to the end of the mile. And the soldier's expecting him to put it down. And the Christian says, would you like for me to take it another mile? And smiles while he says it. The soldier don't know what to do with that man. You see, because Jesus said that the life of the Christian is marked by rendering above that which is expected of him. He goes the extra mile. He pushes beyond what's expected of him. When he's compelled to go 1 mile, he goes 2 miles. So that the world is astonished at these Christians. They can't imagine these Christians. When they're compelled to do one thing, they go beyond that, you see. And the world don't have an answer for that kind of living. Give to him that asketh thee, from him that would borrow thee. Turn not thou away. In the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, God gave instructions to the children of Israel concerning a brother that was in need. If he comes to you, don't turn him away. Give to him. Provide for him what he needs. Now the Bible teaches us also that we are to be careful. We're not to just take this as a blanket statement and every old wino that comes up and says, give me some money. You know, you hand him some money. That's not what this scripture is saying. And everybody that comes up to you and says, hey, look, I need a boat. I want to borrow the money from you to get me a boat. That's not what this scripture is saying. This scripture is saying this. If a person really has needs, understand? If he really has needs, and he comes to you, he has no way of providing for those needs. Now, this is not a situation where a person won't work. You know, the Bible says, if a person don't work, neither should he eat. So, the Lord is not telling us to give and to allow somebody to borrow to encourage laziness. And in fact, In the book of Proverbs, he tells us in several places for us not to be surety for a debt. He tells us that over and over again. So that we are not given a blanket statement here so that everybody that comes to us saying, give me some money or let me borrow some money, that we're just supposed to hand it out to them. But when we understand that there's a clear-cut need there, that a person really is in need and they're trying and they're working and they're striving, then the Bible says, don't turn them away. Give to him that's in need. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow thee, turn not thou away, he said. Ah, brother, when we read these passages of Scripture, to me, this is some of the tightest Scripture in the Bible. In fact, there's a lot of questions that I don't know how to answer from this passage of Scripture. And when I was reading and studying this passage of Scripture about preaching tonight, I just sort of told the Lord, Lord, you know, there's a lot of things I don't understand about that. But I'm going to try to do what I can with it because I understand this is what the Christian life is all about. It's being generous. A Christian is a person who gives. A Christian is a person who's generous. A Christian is somebody who's not just always getting, but somebody who's giving. Their life is marked by that. So that when people are in need, the Christian is the person who responds. You know, we are facing crises in the world. And one crisis that's on the horizon is the bird flu. The scientists are really worried about it. They're worried that this bird flu, which is killing birds in Asia and different places, sometimes it's getting in the human population, and it's very deadly. People are dying. They researched it and found out that the flu of the early 20th century that killed millions of people was a type of the bird flu. Now, we have a threatening bird flu on the horizon. And they say that if this bird flu mutates to where it becomes infectious but contagious in people, that we are in for a bird flu pandemic. That is, a worldwide epidemic of the flu, deadly flu. Well, you know, these kind of things present problems and questions in our minds that we have to face as Christians. First of all, if this be true and if it really happens like they think it will, it's very possible that a lot of people we know will be dead in a year or two, perhaps our own selves, if this really comes to pass. And secondly, it brings up the problem of who is going to take care of these people who are sick with the bird flu. You know, they used to have plagues in the early centuries of the church. They had plagues. When they had plagues, people dying by the scores, the heathen would run from their own sick people, leave them to die. The Christians filled the void. The Christians would come in, care for the dying, take care of those with the plagues. Some of them died themselves, but the heathen watched them. The heathen saw the love of the Christians, the giving spirit of the Christians, the sacrificial spirit of the Christians, and it affected the heathen population to see how the Christians sacrificed themselves for the good even of their heathen neighbors. You know, these are the kind of things that we have to face. We have to make decisions about. How will we respond in circumstances that call for sacrifice? How will we respond in circumstances where we are challenged by insults, by someone striking us, so forth and so on? When we have studied the Scriptures and the Spirit of God is teaching us the Word of God, then we understand that we're to respond how Jesus would respond. That is what the Lord is working in us, is the character of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, teach the world all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Hey. Anybody slapped you lately? Have you ever been slapped? I have too. I've been hit. Fist hit. And, you don't never know what you're going to do till it happens. You might say tonight, well, I'll turn the other cheek. But you just don't know till you're caught in that circumstance. But I've been caught there. I'm telling you, God was so gracious to me. It was a woman that hit me. I mean, she laid it on me. And when she did, I didn't feel nothing toward that woman. No animosity, no hatred, no attempt at revenge. I mean, the grace of God was there to help me. She went to flailing at me with her fist. I just throwed up my hands like this, and she was beating on my hands. Till finally she got through. She was in my living room, and I told her, I said, we're going to pray. You kneel down right over there. And she went over there and knelt down, just went to crying and sobbing, and we went to praying. But you know, God's grace is sufficient for you. Ah, whatever circumstances you find yourself in, if you are living in contact with Jesus, you're seeking His face, you're living close to God, in the hour of your need, God will give you the grace to do what's right in that hour. Hallelujah. Oh, I believe it. A lot of people are praying for dying grace. One man said he's praying for dying grace. God, give me dying grace. God said, man, you don't need dying grace. You need living grace. And when you have grace to live it, you'll have grace to die right, if you've got grace to live right. And it's the Lord that gives us that kind of grace. You never know when you're going to need it, brother. I didn't know I was going to need it that night. But God gave me the grace that I needed in that hour. Hallelujah. And I don't have any animosity to that lady to this day. In fact, I've helped her since then. And later on, she stabbed a man, was in the prison. Not just a short time after that, stabbed a man, was in prison. And it could have been me, but thank God He protected me from that. And God gave me grace. He'll give you grace too. If you'll seek His face, draw nigh to Him, the Lord will help us to be a sanctified people, a people that honors the name of the Lord in the way that we deal with other people, in how we handle the challenges that come to us as Christians. Hallelujah. Let's stand together.